Hi, this is Bobby Lee from Mad TV. Yes.
Yo, what's up? This is Pauly Shore, San Diego. You're listening to my sister's radio station, Sandy Seashore. Check it out.
Thank you for joining us worldwide. It's time to fix what ails you. And everyone knows that laughter is the best medicine. So we've gone right to the first family of comedy, to the lady who wrote the book, Sandy Seashore. Yes, that's her real name. Only a comedian would name their kid Sandy Seashore. Well, what do you expect when your family owns the world-famous comedy store? If laughter's the best medicine, well, then Sandy, she's Dr. Feelgood. Hey, thanks for being here. Tonight, Sandy will check in with the world-famous comedy store to find out who's on stage and hear the inside story of what's really happening backstage and on the Hollywood Strip. She'll help you laugh and learn with some real news. And of course, hide the dog biscuits, because Sonny Shore is on the loose. He's smarter than Lassie and looks better than Ren 10-10. And this is one dog that knows his comedy. And now, here's the seashore that's not in your geography book. A lady with so much talent, she's worldwide at sandyshore.com. Welcome to Happy Hour with Sandy Seashore.
Hey, good evening, everyone. It's Sandy Shore. Here we are. Sorry we're a little late. We're having some technical difficulties, but that's been cleared up. It's Thursday again. Tonight I have Tommy from the Comedy Store on the air, and coming up right at, in a few minutes, we have Penelope Smith. I am absolutely thrilled. She's the pioneer of animal communication. I'm just really excited, and she is going to take call-ins tonight. Okay, Tommy, how you doing up there?
Good. How are you doing, Sandy?
Good. Really good. So this weekend we have in La Jolla...
Jeff Garland from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Isn't that great?
It's a great show. Jeff Garland's going down there. You know, he's actually going to be doing some radio and television. The show's all be sold out.
This is at the Comedy Store in La Jolla, for people that don't know.
And Jeff, if you're not familiar, too, Jeff Garland plays Jeff Green, Larry David's manager, on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
And he does stand-up comedy.
Oh, yeah. Well, he started as a stand-up comic. He's based originally from Chicago. And he's doing good. Your mom's had him working down here for 2 years. And he's down there with Court McCowan, who's also very funny. He's from Playboy Radio. And then Sean Halpin, who actually opens for your brother, Pauly, on the road a lot.
Huh. And we're now officially in spring.
Yeah.
Spring
today.
Is here. Spring is in the air.
It sure is.
And there's my dog barking. Sunny Sky. Bring the magic eight ball, Sunny Sky.
That's right.
And, my dog, he has the magic eight ball.
The magic eight ball, eh?
Yep. Okay, ta-da. Okay, what is your question for Sonny?
The question for Sonny this week is...
personal question.
It's a personal question.
Yep.
Okay. Let's see. Is Ari Shaffir going to continue to work out here?
And drop the ball. Good boy. And the answer is, without a doubt. Woohoo!
Good.
Okay.
That's good.
Well, since we're so late, we're going to get Penelope right on the air.
That's great. All right, Faye, we'll be talking again soon, okay?
All right. Thanks, Tommy.
Thanks for having me on.
Okay. All right, bye.
Bye.
Okay, you guys, stand right by. Penelope Smith is coming on the air.
You're listening to Happy Hour. No, not that kind of happy hour. The lighten up and smile kind of happy hour. More with Sandy and Sonny Shore in a minute. You're listening to Happy Hour. No, not that kind of happy hour. The lighten up and smile kind of happy hour. More with Sandy and Sonny Shore in a minute. People visit websites with a goal in mind. To learn more. To buy a product or service. To be convinced or reassured about something. To register for information. Or for any number of other reasons. By understanding your customers' goals and motivations, we can create an intuitive experience to match. In an ever-changing online environment, new trends, technologies, and expectations demand that your website be interactive and constantly updated. Customers want to see new information, news, reviews, product and services, success stories, blog entries, press releases, pictures, and so much more. To keep up with the rapid pace of technological change and customer expectations, Creative Momentum offers a full suite of web tools and ideas to enhance your online image. Visit our website at creativemomentum.net for more information on all affordable services we offer. That's creativemomentum.net. Welcome back to Happy Hour with Sandy and Sunny Shore. If you want to find out more about comedy, visit sandyshore.com. And now, here's the lady that wrote the book on comedy, Secrets to Stand-Up Success, best-selling author and comedy coach, Sandy C. Shore. Oh, yeah, and Sunny.
Hi, it's Sandy Shore. We're back on BBS Radio. This is Happy Hour. And in 1 minute, up comes Penelope Smith. She is a well-known pioneer in the field of interspecies communication. She's the author of the popular books Animal Talk and When Animals Speak, and the editor of quarterly magazine Species Link. Her visionary work has been featured in all over the world. She's developed amazing telepathic communication techniques. I'm so honored to have you on the show. You have no idea. Penelope, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sandy.
We got a few-minute late start due to some technical problems, but we're on the air. Here we
are.
Okay. So you live in where?
I live in Prescott, Arizona, which is in northern Arizona.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a copy of your latest book, Animals in Spirit, and I was reading it, and I'm, like, crying my eyes out because my dog, Scooter, and Buddy, you know, it just brought back all these memories.
Oh, of course.
Of when my dogs passed. This is amazing. We're also taking call-ins for anyone that wants to call in with any questions. Can you tell me, I've never heard of the magazine that you're editing.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me what Species Link is?
Yeah, sure. Species Link has been sort of the pioneer and founding magazine for the field of interspecies telepathic communication, which is communicating with other species by telepathy, which is getting thoughts and feelings of all species. It goes beyond language and is kind of the universal way of communicating behind all language. So Species Link has been to support this field of animal communication and animal communicators of all variations from beginners to professional, and we have in our magazine a lot of helpful tips on how to telepathically communicate and increase your ability, and also lots of stories, heartwarming stories of what animals communicate.
I'm definitely going to look it up for sure. You know, first I've heard of it.
Yeah, we have our own website now, specieslinkjournal.com, but you can access it through my website, which is animaltalk.net.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Great. I'm still in the beginning of your book. When this is called Animals in Spirit, I've never in my life gone through so much emotional pain than when my dogs passed. Do you think there's different levels of connection we have with our animals as far as, you know, like, I think it's like people. Some animals we're closer to than others.
Oh, of course. Of course. We have, animals are individuals. We have individual relationships just like we do with people. As I go into in my books, animals are of the same essence as we are. They're all spiritual beings with different forms and different functions in the whole web of life. So when we are close to an animal, animals are very heartfelt. Our domesticated animal friends love us with their whole hearts, and they help us to be more sane and in love ourselves with all of life, because the animals show us how to really enjoy life in each moment. And so, sure, we can have very individual relationships. I have had many animal friends over my life, and some of them are real close soulmates, as you might call it, beings who, you know, we just understand each other heart and soul. And then others I love very dearly, but we're not as close, but we still have good relationships.
My dog right now?
Pardon?
Sunny Sky. He's protecting the house.
Oh, okay.
He's like Mr. He's a 20-month-old white collie.
Oh, okay.
I wonder what he's doing. Okay. I have a personal question, being that we're talking about animals. I had have another dog named Willow, who's a collie, who's at the breeders, and him and my other dog weren't getting along because they're two unneutered males.
Oh, wow.
I don't know whether to bring them back home or not. My heart's killing me because I just miss them and I love them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's wise for me, and I've been, like, going back and forth.
And they're still both unneutered?
Right, because they're both show dogs.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, that makes for a difficult situation. People who are show dogs definitely, you know, have to make accommodations for animals being unneutered, and so you get the competitiveness, and oftentimes people have to keep them separate or in separate kennels or separate rooms or separate houses or whatever, because it doesn't work out to keep often, not always, but to keep unneutered male dogs together.
Yeah, who knew?
My
dog gets along fine. My white, you know, collie, he gets along fine with other males.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a fighter in any case.
Yeah.
And the other dog, Willow, is just, trying to, like, take over everything. But.
Yeah, and they're individual, and they have different levels of hormones, too, and they have different ideas about competitiveness. So, you know, just like with everybody else, they're just, they just express themselves in individual ways.
So, yeah, so I'm still in that
You're
dilemma.
In a quandary there, yeah.
It breaks my heart.
Yeah, I understand.
So, mm-hmm.
Obviously, we want everybody to get along, but there's a lot of factors in animals living together, just like there are with people.
Uh-huh. Yep. When, you know, you talk about, you know, well, when animals are on the other side, they usually stick around us. Is that true? If they've been
It depends. Oftentimes there's a transition period where the animal will stay around and check on their person and their family, making sure they're okay. And as they get accustomed to the spiritual realm before they fully ground themselves in spiritual reality, because it's a big shift for them too. But animals are generally really in a good place, in a peaceful place when they leave their physical forms. But they do, they do stay in touch with their people, and many times experience that through dreams. They'll feel their animal there, or they'll have other kinds of contact with the animal. They'll have signs and evidence of visitations, and all kinds of things happen to people with their animal friends.
We have our first caller on the line. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Sandy. This is Caroline from Toronto. I listen to your show every week. It's a great show, and thanks for keeping the humor in spirituality.
Oh, so you're welcome.
Penelope, it's an honor to speak to you. Absolutely.
Can you hear her okay?
I'm straining. I can just hear her.
Can you hear me okay now, guys?
Thank you. Okay.
The reason why I'm calling is I had a pet who was almost like a baby, who passed away about 10 days ago.
Mm.
And I was absolutely heartbroken. But I'm healing day by day, and my husband and I are putting it out there that it was a cat, but she was more like a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And we're putting it out there that she reincarnates back to her family.
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak a bit about pet reincarnation, and can cats reincarnate into a dog? Is that possible?
It's possible. Animals go on, and sometimes they return to the same family, depending on their purposes and what's going on with them. Sometimes they will spend extended times in the spiritual realm before they return. Sometimes it's very quick that they'll return. It depends. Sometimes they really have a strong purpose to be with the same people in the same family, and they'll quickly return, and they can be a different species. A dog could come back and have a cat lifetime or a chicken lifetime or whatever.
A chicken.
Depending on how they can be close to their people, and you can stay in touch with your cat, who was your cat, in after they have gone on, and just have a meditation in my book, Animals and Spirit, that helps you to stay in touch with them, and you can communicate with them and see what their plans are. And there is ways to recognize beings when they come back by their energy, by their way of being. They usually show you signs of how they were before, and even if they're in a different kind of body, a different species. So people have a real natural connection with animals they have loved, and often know where to go, how to find the animal. Just make sure you don't get into a desperate situation where you feel like, oh, I've got to have them back, because they have to come back because they have that particular purpose of coming back. And if you stay in touch with them, they'll let you know.
Wonderful. Thanks again, guys.
Okay.
Thank you so much. It's, you know, again, your book, Animals and Spirit, is, I wish I had this when, you know, my dog passed, because it's so enlightening as far as, you know, helping you with your transition.
Yes.
I let my animals both go in my arms.
Oh,
my,
wow.
My little buddy, his little spirit passed right through me. It was like
wow.
An electrocution.
Wow.
And I've never in my, that dog didn't even need a leash. He never left my side. You know, it was just, you know, and to this day, you know, I can't wait to see them again.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. We're closer to our animal friends than we are people.
Well, we can, you know, it's hard to be with people a lot of times because they mirror us so exactly. They show us all our things that are, we're annoyed with about ourselves. And the animals, they just show us how much they love us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we start to melt and open to them. And we don't always get that same kind of experience with humans. It takes a little bit more work because we've got more work to do with our relationships with people than we do with animals. Although many people have similar kinds of conflicts with animals where they get shown their own dark places to face with their animal friends.
Mm-hmm. And also animals, we can be ourselves around our animals.
Yeah.
There's something in your book I was reading, one of the excerpts, I mean, it's the very beginning, one of the chapters, you know, that it's, we can be ourselves, and I don't remember the words in it, but it was soothing because
yes.
Our animals know us better than anybody else.
And they don't have the same kind of judgments that people do. You know, we have, the human condition is sometimes very difficult to work with, and our animal friends help us to find our real soul and heart connection. And so that makes it easier to be with them. You know, they don't always remind us about the hard places of being human.
They don't throw the stuff back in our face.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know. Mine does sometimes, you know.
Well, they can. You know, people can have these great struggles with their animal friends because we're all on a spiritual journey together, and we're all here to, you know, help each other on the path in one way or another and show each other what we need to face sometimes. And sometimes that's hard, and our animal friends can do that with us, too.
The thing that was interesting is I didn't realize they can jump species and reincarnate as different species. That I've never heard.
Yeah, in my experience with many, many animals and humans going on and in my own experience with my own lifetimes, I'm aware that we can go to any species that we wish in order to fulfill our purpose. It's very common for species to stay for a long time in one species to get that experience, but then they may want to experience another kind of lifetime.
Now, I want to go back in history a little bit. You started in the 70s. How did you come across this gift? I mean, how did you develop this gift?
Well, I always could communicate with animals, and I was always aware of it. I was very close to them when I was a child. I was always aware that of telepathic communication, that we actually could get each other's thoughts and feelings as humans also, but this was not accepted with humans, so I stuck with communicating with the animals telepathically. They could understand me, and they responded to me very well. And I just didn't follow along with the invalidation. Like, a lot of people get invalidated very young and they say, oh, well, animals are less than us, and oh, you couldn't possibly hear anything from them. They can't think, they can't feel. Now that is changing. People are much more open to animal intelligence and are aware that animals feel and think and make decisions. So they're also, people are opening up to our native ability, which we're all born with, the ability to communicate without words, that we can get each other's feelings, that we can understand each other's intentions. And when we can do this with animals, it makes it just so fantastic. Our relationships just go out the top.
When our animals get mature, it's almost like you don't even have to say a word. They know exactly what you're thinking.
Yes.
And they know what's going on.
They always know that. And again, they have different awarenesses too. They're all individuals, so some animals are more tuned into people. Some animals don't necessarily want to be tuned into people as much as others do. But you know, animals who live with us, they get to know us really well.
I think at the very beginning of your book was one of the first questions: why are animals here for such a short time?
Mm-hmm.
And that was like my big torture. My dog was like nearly 14 and a half years old. That's a long time.
Yeah.
You know, and he just, I mean, and my dog buddy from the same litter, he died a few years before that. But he, you know, these dogs were just, whenever I was upset, my dog Scooter would bring me a ball.
Oh.
He just looked at me and he would just, if there's somebody he didn't like, he would give me Chinese eyes. He would just squint his eyes, look at the person with squinted eyes, look back at me.
Yeah.
He was so human.
He was so aware and so attuned to what you needed and cheering you up and, you know, bringing you a ball to say, hey, come on, let's just enjoy life.
Can you talk to animals that are on the other side, or is it?
Yes.
Really?
We can all actually learn how to, the telepathic communication applies to recover this ability. It applies to animals who have gone on. It applies to animals who are here, because it's really a spiritual ability. It's about communicating beyond the physical.
Now, you said there's a meditation in your book.
Mm-hmm.
And can you maybe share that with people right now that don't have the book at the moment?
I'll share with you some of the elements rather than just doing, you didn't want me to do the entire meditation on radio.
Okay.
What people need to do in order to get in touch with their animals, these are the elements, is first you need to get quiet and be relaxed, be in a place where you can just, you might want to even play some music just to relax yourself or whatever relaxes you. Get in a quiet space and know that you can contact your animal friend. If you cut yourself off, you say, oh, it's impossible, well, it's never going to happen. So you have to start with at least an openness that you can contact your animal friend. You have always been in touch with them throughout their life. Whether people know they're telepathic or not, somewhere in their life they've picked up their animal's feelings, intentions, thoughts, without words, without even their animal being in the same room. So this is the kind of connection you can have with them beyond the grave. When the animal has died and you can contact them as a spirit. Now, generally, they're in a real peaceful place. Now, they may have some things that they're working out, but normally they recognize themselves throughout their lives as spiritual beings. They don't have the socialization out of the sense of connectedness with themselves, with their souls and hearts. So they're very connected with themselves, and they often will be looking after you. So after they have gone on, it is pretty, it's a good time and it's pretty easy time to actually connect with them, because they normally want you to be happy, want you to know that they're there and that they're always connected with you and always in your heart.
Now, so, I understand that, I read that they're pretty much halfway on the other side as they're here anyway. How does that work? They don't have the same concept of death that we do.
I wouldn't say they're halfway on the other side. That's only when they're dying that they start to, or when they get older, they start to move out of their bodies and partway go on the other side. But what I would say is animals have a spiritual awareness so that they can be aware of themselves beyond their physical form also. Like animals can be aware of where you are. Like they can be aware you're at the office. They can be aware that you're coming home. And that's sort of an extended, that's a spiritual awareness beyond the body. So that's...
Since Willow has been at the breeders, I can't stop thinking about him. It's like, I didn't realize how attached our hearts were.
Yeah.
This is like an everyday thing now. It's like he wants to come home.
Yeah.
And I've never met a dog that has such a love of life.
Mm-hmm.
That he just, the world is his, and he just walks around like he owns the world, and he's so funny. He's got a wonderful personality. It just really amazes me how different everybody, all the animals, their personalities are. I heard there's like one big animal soul, but I don't know. I think they're so individual.
They are individuals. When people talk about the oversoul, there are, of each species, there's kind of an overlighting characteristic essence. But each animal is an individual. Every single one, from insects to elephants, they're all individual beings who are living their lives just like we are. We also have a common soul essence. But that doesn't lump all the animals into one same being. As you've noticed, and most animal people notice, they're quite individual personalities with different ways of being.
I'm feeling a little guilty because, like, when I see a spider, oh, my God, I'm guilty of squashing it or vacuuming it with a vacuum cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
You
can shift gears. This is only your fear that's been instilled in you somewhere along the line. If you start to look at spiders as fellow beings and communicate with them, just say, "Spider, I'm really afraid of you. And so I have this impulse to kill you because I'm so afraid. But what I'd like to do instead is have us coexist. So I really don't want to see you, or I'm going to, you know, maybe scoop you up and take you outside." And you can start to develop a relationship with them. You'll see spiders will really listen to you. You can have a great relationships with your corner of the house spider. And you'll see that they wait, they listen, when they know that you're not going to kill them. They also feel your intentions. If you're scared and you're going to reach for the nearest thing to squash them, then they also have to protect themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But you can develop a different relationship. There's many people that are scared of snakes or rats or dogs or whatever. And if you just look at them as a fellow being and start communicating with them and be honest with your own fear, then you can have a different relationship, and you'll find that they respond very favorably to that.
Oh, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just guilty of that. I'm sure everybody is. The old spider and the vacuum cleaner or the shoe.
Yeah, well, you can shift. I mean, again, I understand that. That's something, you know, you've been raised with in some way. But you can shift that and just realize that we're all coexisting on the planet. We don't have to kill each other.
So do you, personally... do animals like to have other companions in the house, or is it, I don't know, that's kind of a general question. Some dogs like to have other dogs, and some dogs like to be the only dog.
Yeah, well, that's very individual, too. You know, obviously some animals are very social animals, and they really prefer to, and that's very much a part of their whole body program, they prefer to be with other animals, like horses. Prefer to be with another horse. And dogs are also very social, too, but you'll find domesticated dogs, many of them will say, "Hey, I don't need another dog. I just want to be with you."
Mm-hmm.
And they want to be with their person, and that's that. Hey, and then others will be much happier if they have another dog. I've had various dogs, and they've been happy in both ways, either with other dogs or alone. And they can change over their lifetime, too, just like we can. They don't stay the same. They might want a dog to play with when they're younger, and then maybe when they get older, they just say, "Hey."
You know what? That's brilliant what you just said, because that's exactly what happened in my house. My dog wasn't eating, and he was so sad. And he told me he was going to leave the planet if he didn't have any company.
Yes.
And so I brought home Willow.
Yes.
Another puppy. And they were great, and they 6 months, and they just loved each other. And all of a sudden his hormones kicked in.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he started attacking, you know, Willa started attacking.
Well, that's why people neuter their animals. It just makes it a lot easier to live together,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I know, you know, in a breeding situation, it's a different kind of thing, but it does make it a whole lot easier in domesticated situations because, you know, they're not wild dogs anymore where they need to set up a pack.
Yeah, and the fact is, you know, after a while, then Sonny was like, he's too bossy and I'm not happy. Then you're
mm-hmm.
right about they do change, and I was really surprised to see that he wasn't interested in having a playmate around anymore.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
very a good point.
Yeah.
And I didn't want them to kill each other. So
yeah,
I
well, of course.
Best to go to the breeders for now and let's figure this out. But,
yeah.
You know, so I just, that you know, I've never had that happen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I had, but both Buddy and Scooter were, you were right, they were fixed. And they just passed this law in California about mandatory spay and neuter.
Oh.
Are you aware of that?
I had heard that it was coming.
I think they passed it.
Oh, wow.
And they wanted the animals neutered by 4 months. Now, isn't that a little early, or what's your feeling?
Well, again, you know, this is sort of a veterinary question more than a communication question, and my specialty is communicating with animals. You know, again, the veterinarians can answer that better on what their studies have found and what works and all that stuff. As far as the animals go, in communicating with them, generally domesticated animals, they want to be with people. So they, you know, they're willing to go along with whatever works in order for them to be close to people. If they're unneutered and they can't live with a person, you know, say you're two dogs and they want to live with you, but they can't live with each other, so they can't live with you. They've got to be separated. Well, it's easier for them and it's better for them if they can live with you
mm-hmm.
because they love you too.
Right, right.
So, you know, you have to work it out. This is a sort of a multi-level question where it's a matter of, you know, what is your purpose with them? What is their purpose with you? How are you going to work that out and all that good stuff? And then with the animals, I found that generally they're pretty happy when they're spayed and neutered because they don't have that in the way of their relationship with their people.
True. My dogs, they're very different when they're neutered.
Yeah.
A lot more mellow.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes life easier.
What projects are you working on?
Well, right now, I've just finished, of course, the Animals and Spirit book. That's out now, and I'm working on a book on the communications from the dolphins and the whales. I've done many, many journeys with the dolphins and whales, taking people on journeys to swim with dolphins and whales.
Where do you go for this? Because you're in Arizona.
I've gone to mainly the Bahamas and the Dominican Republic with the humpback whales, but I've also gone to Hawaii and Costa Rica. And
do they have any messages for us in general?
The whales are very highly evolved beings, and also the dolphins, and they really want to reach us and teach us and help us to evolve. So they're very interested in people evolving into more love, into more community, into more understanding and unity, rather than fighting and war and all that good stuff. So the whales emphasize, and in my new book I'll be sharing many different messages and different aspects of what they want to communicate to people, but they emphasize living in your higher reality, in the reality of love and cooperation.
Can you explain, like, what a day would sound like if someone lives in love and cooperation? Let's say you're going to the supermarket and people are rude.
Well, you see, when you live in the love, you live in an understanding and a compassion, so that things don't bug you like they would when you're living in sort of an irritated mode. In a mode of, oh, people are against me, or when you haven't integrated enough of the elements in you that are irritated, and then other people irritate you because there are parts in you that you haven't loved. So the whales and dolphins teach us how to love all aspects of ourselves in reality, and then things get really even. You know, it gets really, you walk around and everything is okay. you know, and people do things and you understand why. You understand what's going on with them. You understand, you know, that they have some difficulty and some problems, and you don't take it personally. You then go, oh, I see, you know, it's part of the human condition. I mean, people have a lot of things going on, and when they're not, when people are not integrated in themselves and in a state of compassion, then they have a lot of things that trouble them.
What would you say a big difference between the dolphins and the whales are?
Well, the dolphins are messengers of the whales. So they actually take the deep messages of the whales and the deep understandings of the whales, and they kind of translate it in a form that's in some ways easier for people to understand. They're really playful and play around with people and are joyful and show people how to live in that joy of the moment.
Aren't they the smartest animals on the planet? I read somewhere. I know the parrot is very smart.
Yeah, well, smart is a relative thing. I mean, smart for what? You know, I mean, people go, smart is being like a human. That's how people
right.
usually judge what smart is. But smart
right.
is really, intelligence is really about fulfilling the purpose of your individual form, of whatever your species is, whatever your form is, whatever your life is, and fulfilling that in a way that is sane and loving and full of good life. People evaluate that differently. They usually say, oh, if a monkey can do sign language and communicate in our language, well, then they're intelligent. But I found that communicating with animals, that they all have exquisite intelligence. It's just different kinds of intelligence that is appropriate to their particular bodies.
I heard that they communicate through, like, pictures, like the dogs.
Well, they communicate through all their senses. Like, telepathy is extended senses. So it's all our senses. Like, if I communicate with a dog and I'm completely in touch with them, I can feel what they feel. I can experience what they smell, what they hear, what they taste, what they touch. So when you communicate, telepathically, it's what channel is open for you. So if you're open to pictures more than you are open to sensations or sounds or intentions, then that's the way you'll receive it. But dogs communicate with all their, both their physical senses and their extended senses, all senses.
Mm-hmm.
They don't necessarily just communicate in pictures. If all you can receive is pictures, then that's how you'll receive it. But people make the mistake of thinking animals are communicating that way when actually it's the people are receiving that way. But we can receive on all channels, all sense channels, and so can the animals send and receive that way.
Interesting point. Because, you know, our minds are just closed to, like, what our belief system is.
Yeah.
Until we educate ourselves to realize that how vast it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's dogs. Well, I'm a dog person, so that's why
mm-hmm.
I keep talking about dogs. I've had dogs my whole life.
Sure.
And I can't imagine not having a dog in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And the way, you know, when they're little puppies, they're just kind of cuckoo. And then I guess it takes them a couple years to mature. What is that, the calendar year?
See, that's your belief. I don't believe that puppies are cuckoo. I believe that babies, my experience has been babies can understand everything. Their neurological systems are not as developed. They don't necessarily are not as coordinated. Babies, puppies, kittens, whatever, young of any species. But they are themselves. They are spiritual beings. You can communicate with them intelligently. You can train dogs and work with them at a very young age. But you can't expect them to do everything an adult dog can do because their neurological system and their ability to coordinate their brain and their body is not as developed, just like it isn't in a human infant or any young animal. At the same time, I regard all beings as able to understand, and I don't limit that to they have to be 2 years old. However, there is a development cycle. I'd say, you know, like a year-old dog is kind of like by the time they're a year, they're like about 12 years old. Then by the time they're 2 years, they're like about 20 years old. And then after that, it's about approximately, and I'm giving a very rough estimation, about 5 years for every year of human life. That's kind of their, you know, that's, but each dog will be individual in how they develop neurologically, but that's kind of a rough estimate. And then I don't limit them. When I'm working with puppies, you know, I just talk to them like I would talk to an adult. I just tell them, you know, this is what I need, this is what I expect from you, but I certainly don't expect they have the bladder control and the neurological development of an adult.
Do you is there a particular story that comes to mind? And because I know you have a lot of stories in your book, one that people might want to hear about, a communication experience that really changed.
Well, yeah, I'll give you something.
So many of them.
Yeah, I'll give you a story that's coming up about a communication experience that really helped a person to understand what was going on with her and her cat. This was a lady who really loved her cat very much, and they had a close relationship. The cat would come running whenever she came home from work, and they'd sit together. And then the lady called me. The reason she called me was that her cat no longer came to her anymore. In fact, the cat was now, every time the person came in, the cat would jump on the refrigerator and wouldn't come down until the person left. So this woman was very distressed. Obviously, this was a big change in the relationship. So I did a consultation with the cat, and I asked the cat, well, what's going on? How come you run away from your person now? And before, you were very affectionate. She's kind of upset about this. And the cat said, well, I came here. I'm here to help my person to grow spiritually, to be a better person. And she stopped going to her meditation classes, and the cat communicated to me, showing me kind of the person going off to some sort of class, which I interpreted as a meditation class or a spiritual growth class of some kind. And when she stopped doing that, the only way I could communicate to her that she would understand was to move away from her. And until she starts going back to her classes and focusing on her spiritual growth, I'm going to continue being removed from her. And the lady said, oh, well, that's true. A couple months ago, I started working overtime, and then I only had to do that for a short time, but I liked having extra money, so I kept working overtime, and I stopped going to my meditation classes. And I said, well, if you want your cat back as connected with you and loving with you, then you're going to have to focus on your spiritual growth again, because that's what your cat says, and that's what your cat is here for, is sort of to guide you. And as soon as she said that she would go back and she would stop, you know, just living for money and working overtime to get money and go instead focus on her spiritual growth, the cat came down to from the refrigerator, because I was there in person. Mm-hmm. It came down from the refrigerator, came over to me, thanked me, and then went over to the person. And really, that's what this being was there for, was to guide the person. And it was real obvious. I mean, this is the kind of thing, like, people say, well, how do you know you're really communicating telepathically? I say, well,
there it is.
The animals show you. And when you get it right, when you really understand them, they demonstrate it for you. And when you don't, when you're just doing your own human
who knew?
Thought,
I mean,
pattern.
I never knew. I mean, that's really interesting. I never knew. They were that, I mean, they knew what we were doing.
Oh, yeah. Your animal friends, and again, they're all different awarenesses. Not all of them are necessarily here to be your spiritual guides. But they're here for various reasons. There's a connection with you. The spiritual connection is a very deep one with many, many people and their animal friends.
Do you think my dog wants to have a companion?
Which dog are you talking about now?
My white dog, my collie that's living with me.
And this is, you're not talking about Willow?
No, I'm talking about Sunny.
Sunny, okay.
Sunny Sky. His name's Sunny Sky.
Okay, well, I can check with Sunny, and let's see what he says. What he says, what he gives me right away, because he has been tuned into the conversation earlier, too, is that he enjoyed having Willow as a companion until it got rough.
Oh.
He says he enjoyed having another dog around, but it got rough, and then he didn't like it. He says right now that he's quite happy with not having any companion because it wasn't a good experience for him.
Oh, so I was right.
Yeah, yeah, oh. And that was kind of hard on him.
having the dog, right?
That was, well, it was hard on him to have it turn into something else.
Yeah.
That was not pleasant.
So, okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
You know, I can't believe how time flies. This is amazing. Just all of a sudden, it's time to go. Do you have any parting words to anybody before we...
Well, I'd like people to know that they can learn how to communicate with animals themselves, and my website is animaltalk.net. They can go and get books and resources on how to recover the ability themselves, and I love it when people can get closer to their animal friends and learn about their relationships this way.
You know, it's been an honor having you on the show.
Thanks, Sandy.
And I'd really love to have you on again. So,
okay, thanks a lot, Sandy.
Thank you so much.
Good okay, night, bye-bye now.
This is Sandy Shore. You're listening to Happy Hour on BBS Radio. Everyone have a good evening, and I'll be back next Thursday. Okay, bye-bye.
I went to the doctor, and I felt half dead. He looked at me, and he shook his head. Said, you better sit down. I got some really bad news. Only one thing wrong with you. You got the orthopedic blues. I got a girl on my back, and orthotics in my shoes. I feel it in my bones. I got the orthopedic blues.
Ah, Mr. Shore, why don't you show me where it hurts?
Doctor, in the lower back. Wait a minute. Wait. Why are you touching me there?
This is a classic case of the orthopedic blues.
What?
You'll have to pay the lady on the way out. We take cash only.
Cash? Now it really hurts. I ain't got no money. Oh, the doctor says it's plain to see.